See you. Take the paper you want.
Or not the litany of humility, son.
Don't forget that, it's very important. Today you are going to have it, everyone. So you're not going with God without that. Okay. You know, the last day we were, everything is connected. So when I try that, we understand that there is a total unity in what we are saying. It's different dimensions of one reality, who is God and how we open to his love. All is, the first meditation is the most important. Living from the love of God. And as you know, it's totally connected with your greatest desire. That is the desire of being loved. And that is what we are going in different dimensions and trying to go deeper. But this is coming in our lives to that love of God that is manifested in different dimensions of who is God, who is infinite and will never. But the essence of Christian life is living from the love of God. For that you need faith. You can go to this famous text of St. Paul, no? But he was living from the love of God. He's crucified because you have to crucify your ego. That is the prayer of faith. Faith means living from the love of God. Sometimes we think faith is about knowledge or ideas. No, faith is about living from his love. That is faith. So always you, because this desire is ruling your heart. As every human heart, I mean, everything that we do is for being loved, appreciated, recognized, valued, accepted. And this is our way from childhood. So, and that was first with our parents. Our parents were there, as we talk about that, for opening our this desire to the love of God. They have done their job, more or less. But even they don't know sometimes, so for what they are there. And so that desire, we need now to open it to God, to open it to his love. And his love, we will see, is his mercy. Yeah, because his love is a person, is Jesus. That is the mercy of God. But all faith is about this point. It's about learning to open to the mercy of God. Learning to open to the love God has for you now and here. It's difficult, yes, because we don't have very little faith. That is the only difficulty here is this. You know, the text is there, but St. Paul, what he talks, that he's crucified through faith. How he's crucified? Why? Because faith crucified me. Why? Because if I am living in faith, I am denying my feelings, my emotions, and whatever is happening for living from him, living for him also. And that is what he says here very clear. For through the law, I died to the law, that I might live for God. Instead of being focusing in my actions, in what I'm doing, how good I am or how bad I am, how they other see me, and I died for that. For what? For living for God. For through the law, I died to the law, that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ. But he's not crucified, I mean. Physically, in any way. Yet I live now, I live no longer I, but Christ lives in me. Insofar as I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. I live by faith. So the same thing that Jesus lives in me and I live by faith is the same thing. I live by faith in the Son of God who has loved me and given himself up for me. So Jesus, he knows, gave himself to the cross for him. Even he didn't know Jesus. And Jesus, St. Paul didn't know Jesus after the resurrection and this thing. So you can say the same thing. What? That God, he died for me, and I stopped living in my head, because I insist the problem of these desires is that they put us in the center of everything, and the only way for stopping them is through faith. And faith is for stopping selfishness. Today, what's really need? The country. I think it's in the San Cyrilos, the catechesis today, talk about that. I mean, faith is for stopping me being in the center of everything. My feelings, my thoughts, my desires, my wishes, my wanting. Because this desire put you in the center of everything. We talk about that desire is very strong. This desire is childish, is immature, and is selfishness itself. And the only way I can stop it is putting in another place. Not that I can stop that desire, because that desire is your very relationship with God as giver, God as creator. That was the meditation we did the last day. And the idea that we try to go deeper. God is my creator, I am his creature. And I insist the only way you are clear before God is when you recognize him as creator, as me. It's the only way that you recognize that God is God. When you are not recognizing that he's creator, you are an idea of God, but it's not God. It's a thinking about God. God is creator, which means that he's giving my existence, my being, and all that I have, and I'm here and now to me. So I depend on him totally, absolutely, and permanently. And that is essential part of faith, because it's the first statement of faith. That I am a creature of God. He's the creator, and only God is the creator. Original sin is denying of this and being now me pretending to be God. Not in the head, but in my desires. And God continue being God, and this is the problem of God, that he cannot work in a person who is not believing. Why? Because the contrary of faith is egocentric behavior. Because if I am not putting my desire of being loved in Jesus, what is happening now, my desire of being loved is putting me in the center of everything, because now I am pretending to be honored and recognized and valued and glorified and appreciated by the others. And you cannot stop that. It's impossible. I don't know if you have any question about this. It's impossible. You cannot stop that desire. Why? Because you are created for living from love. You are created means that all your being, your soul, your body, your senses, everything is created for living from God, love. But in the moment you are not putting that desire in God, as you put it in your parents when you were little, very good, because that is the plan of God. When we grow and we put it in the world, very bad, because it's the root of all problems. I mean, and we need to work it. Why? Because faith is about that, as St. Paul is putting very clear. It's about I am living in the faith of the one who loved me and died, give his life up for me. But every day in the Eucharist, we are reminding the same thing. That's the reason it's so important, the Eucharist. For getting there, this is my body that is given up for you. That is my blood that is shed for you. And he's making the same act of the cross, because he anticipated in the Last Supper what he is going to be doing in the cross. But what? It's a total action of God that was accomplished in the cross, but the Eucharist is the cross. So it's the action of love of God for you. I mean, and we go there and we continue putting our desire of being loved in other places. The reason the Eucharist is so powerful, the Eucharist is so powerful as I understood it as an encounter of the one who is infinite love. And he's wanting to bring that by, because Jesus is in me. He is within me. I mean, and that is faith. Faith is the contrary of thinking. Why? Because thinking is outside. Faith is about inside. When I am in faith, I am coming inside me. I don't have an act of faith when I believe in things. That is not a real act of faith. You have an act of faith when you believe in the mystery of God indwelling in you and his presence in you. That is when faith is working. Because now it's impossible that I come to a God who is within me and that is not personal. It's impossible. Has to be personal. And God, what he wants is to get in a personal relationship of love with me, not in an intellectual relationship with me. All these things, studies and biblical studies and all these things, when they are not coming to the heart, they are useless. Why? Because the goal is the intimacy with God, is the love of God pouring my heart. The action of the Holy Spirit is the same thing. Living from God is living from the Holy Spirit, is living as a child of God, is the foundation of everything in a spiritual life. What? That we are children of God. What means that? That he loves me in such way, so much that he gave his son to die for me on a cross. That is what St. Paul is repeating in this text. But it's very important that we understand who is God in a deeper way. Why? For opening to his plan in the concrete of my life. For opening what? The only thing that is not in his plan. What? We were talking before about that. My heart. The only thing that is not in the kingship of God and in the lordship of God and in the power of God and in the love of God and in the almighty power of God is my heart. That is the only thing that is not in this world in his guidance. And now he's letting him to go there and let him to be my God so I can live from the one who is God and is the creator, is the giver. The creator and the giver is the same thing. And he's asking us to open our hearts for what? For receiving. Because he wants to give you. He loves you. The only reason you exist is for receiving his graces. And receiving his graces, manifesting his glory through your life. So you can be salt and light. But now depend on how I am receiving. So I am opening my heart to the giver. And I insist, this is the mystery of the woman, the mystery of receiving, because they are more prepared than men for that. Because men is more about doing things and outward. Women, by her sexuality, in the plan of God, they are more created for being receptive, because her sexuality is receptive. It's receiving always. Being a mother is receiving another person in my body. And all the femininity dimension in complementarity to the masculine dimension is the mystery of receiving. And that is what the woman can bring to this world and transform the men, because the man has very little interior life. They think that this is about doing things, and that is a machismo way of doing. No, this is about the action of God in our soul. That is the reason the model and the fullness is a woman. It's not a man. It's Mary. Why? Because she is in the fullness of receiving always, full of grace. And you know that birth means always. That reason the Immaculate Conception is founded in that text, Ke Haritomene, that means a birth in Greek that is always, before and in the future, full of grace. And this is the way the angel called Mary. It's not Mary. He didn't call her Mary. He called her full of grace, Ke Haritomene, because it's the name before God. Is the woman, is the mystery of salvation, because it's totally fulfilled always by the action of God, especially at the foot of the cross. So that is how I understand faith is about feelings. No, faith is about the power of God acting in us. It's God who is transforming our lives because we are letting him to be God. And that is what is faith, is letting God to be God, to be the creator. And we are his creature, so understanding that I depend on him. That is humility. Humility is only that. Recognizing that dependence on God. That is humility. Without me, you can do nothing. It's the same thing Jesus saying in John 15:5. That is humility. Within humility, we are things. No, humility is only accepting that God is God. And stop pretending to be him. That is pride, of course. It's the contrary of humility. It's in my thoughts, me trying to rule things that are out of my capacities, of my control. Because the only thing in truth that is in my control and in my power is my heart. But I mean, I insist this point that it's very important that we understand that we need to open to his love. But it's inside. So more you go in your prayer to the mystery of God inside you, and you in him, I mean, the one who eats my feeds on me remains in me and I in him. Dwells in me, I am in him. And as I am living from the Father who is the source of life, you will live from me. That is what he's talking about the Eucharist. He's talking about living from him. But Christian life is all about living from other. Living from the love of other. Because he's the creator, and the other day we were seeing the creator because we understand better that his creative action, the only place where this is not bringing fulfillment is my heart. And I gave you the text of Elizabeth of the Trinity, how I keep you there and I remain always in your creative action. Because God is creator and continue being creator, but the only creature that he can give more, who is? Us humans. It's the only one that he can give. The animals are clock, blocking their nature. They are very good and more perfect than us because they obey more God than us. That is the reason they are more perfect than us. But everything is obeying God. Only our hearts are not obeying Him. But His plan is giving us. It's going here. It's receiving from Him. He has created natural laws and all these things, so we don't escape from His plan so that much because and natural law. But there is another level that is the level of I don't live through the law. I don't live through the natural law. I live from the love of God. And it's a different way of living. That is the reason it's different. Why? And this is the biggest problem of faith. I have to take myself from the center of everything. This is the only problem of faith. That I have to put others before me. And if I don't do that, I don't have faith. Because that other is God. He's the giver of everything. And I don't have nothing that is not coming to Him. You know, the reading today of St. Paul is of Philippians. I mean, it's truly something. I mean, the problem that we read these things and we say, okay, maybe. Yes, that is the way we react in these strong readings that are teaching us a lot of things. I mean, verse 13, after talking about love and talking about how if you have any compassion, if you have any solace in love, any participation in the Spirit, any compassion, any mercy, and He invites us to be humble in our relationship with others. So consider the others superior than you. Don't work through these two words that are ostentation, that is showing off, or vanity, you can call it, and the other is rivalry. So, for putting yourself above the other, that is rivalry. It's judgmental mind, it's criticizing others, it's judging others, that is rivalry, it's me better than others. So, and we are here, one, he taught us, be humble. Be humble, consider the other superiors. It's the way you love them. Only when you consider them superiors, because they are a gift of God for you. The Creator is giving this person, your wife, your husband, your children, in this moment as a gift for you growing. So you don't consider them superior, you cannot love them, because they are a gift. And a gift is also always something that you receive from others. And they are a gift of God for you. And only in humility you can get there. Not look for your own interests, for the interests of the others. And now he talks about have the same attitudes, the same dispositions, the same heart and mind of Jesus, who humbled himself, emptied himself, humbled himself, and made himself obedient until the cross. For what? For loving us, for showing us how he loved us, for showing us how powerful is the love of God, because it's about the action of God in us. And now he goes here in the text, that is they continue with this and say, for God, verse 13, Philippians 2, for God is the one who for his good purpose works in you both to desire and to work. I mean, look what he's saying. For God is the one who for his good purpose works in me and in you both the desire and to work. Do everything without grumbling or questioning, so without complaining. That is the mind of the people who are not in God. It's complaining about reality. It's complaining about what the things are. It's complaining about that. It's complaining about the other. It's every day something for complaining or a lot of things for complaining. And being holy is stop complaining in your heart, outside and inside. So in your mouth, in your heart, about the others and about you. That is holiness. Stop complaining. Because it's just and necessary. It's our duty and our salvation to do the contrary of complaining. What? To give thanks always and everywhere. Why? Because he's acting in you. So, and he continued with the beautiful text that is, do everything without grumbling and questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine like lights in the world. So he's talking about the day of Christ. But this, I mean, the text is amazing because it's putting who is God. I mean, in Him we move, we exist, and we live. And in the Ephesians 6, 4, 6, it's before, no, just before Philippians, Ephesians 4, 6, it's another text. I mean, that is, he says this thing because these guys were totally aware that God is creator and he's almighty. And that is something our society has lost totally, in my opinion. And that is one of the reasons, the biggest problem we have in our faith. Losing the reality, the truth, that God is creator and almighty. I tried to talk about evolution the other day because I know that many people have a problem there with the evolutionist idea and creation. They have no problem, I mean. But it's there. And that is has affected us. In the time of Pascal, was the idea of the God of the philosopher was the deism. You know what is deism? That God has no providence. God is on the origin, is the kick off the universe, but he's now the things are going according to whatever. So it's not divine providence, but I mean, it's impossible if you believe that God is creator, that there is not divine providence, because creator means that he's creating always. That he, now I can talk because he's first cause of my talk. I cannot talk without God. I mean, not that he's saying what I am saying, of course, but he's giving me the beam for saying what I can say. And I can move a finger because he's God. And the leaf of the tree is moved because God is wanting that to happen eternally in his divine and almighty power. And that is the only God that exists. The other gods are ideas, are idols, are lies. They don't exist and they don't work. But the problem is that me, Armando, Marcel, has a very wrong idea of God as creator. So I am not letting him to get in the reality of who is him and who am I. Because that total dependence of God that is in creation, we need to leave it for living grace. Because grace is for, about the creator. Faith is for restoring humanity to the original plan of God. In Christ, of course. But we need to work it because the problem is there. I mean, it's a huge thing that I encourage you when you go to prayer, I mean, and you do the preambles of preparing for prayer, this truth, recognize it. God is my creator and his creature. I depend on him totally, absolutely, and permanently. If I can do something, it's with your help. I need you. And that is humility. Because, I mean, everything that you have is a gift of God. And you know the expression of St. Paul, if you have received it, of what are you boasting? The one who boasts in the Lord. Because if you have some gifts of nature that God has given you, are for serving the others, but I am using them for my glory or for serving the others. That is terrible. I mean, you go to the dimension of what is this? Why? Because the more gifts God has given you, the more responsibility you have in how you are using them. I mean, and that has to make the people who have more humble than the person who has less. Why? Because God has given me this or that or that or the other thing, and it's a pure gift. Why the other people don't have that? I have done something for having the gifts that I have, for having the family that I have, for having the intelligence God has given me, for having two eyes, and I have done something for having what I have? No. So what I boast. But the problem is that we are always, because the desire of being loved, that is very strong. And the only way of stopping it is opening it to God, because if not, I mean, we remain there always. So I want to go deeper here. So, because it's the same thing. I mean, to be created means to be loved. It's the same thing. You exist because you are loved. But you exist as a person because you are loved as a person. And that belongs to reason, not only to faith. I mean, and that you can use it. Why? Because you are existing. And you are not existing as a tree or as a monkey. No, you are existing as a human person. So with the capability, you are capable of loving God and answering to him, of opening to a mystery of the infinite in your heart and in your life. And animals don't have that gift, so it means that God loves you in a personal way, in nature. Now, this other thing is the thing of grace. Because grace is not, grace and nature are not two things, are one reality that God created from the beginning. When we lost our the grace of God, is this problem that we have in society, because, I mean, we are created for living from God. And that is what means the Creator brings that very clear to the human heart. And at the same time, He's almighty. And that is what I want to bring us to our prayer and to our life. Do I believe that God is almighty? Because if I don't believe that God is almighty, I don't believe in God. Because the problem of God is that His attributes of God, you know, the attributes of God, are all identified with His being. So God has not wisdom and love and power. No, in God, everything is the same. It's being eternal and infinite. And it's beauty, and beauty is wisdom, and beauty is love, and power is the same thing. So in the moment you deny one attribute of God, you deny the whole thing of who is God. And He's almighty. He's omnipotent. So, which means, and I'm going to follow almost the Catechism of the Church, because it's so powerful, the text of the Catechism of the Church about God Almighty, that in my opinion is one of the most powerful that I read about this almighty power of God and how this truth, and this is the way the Catechism of the Church used this expression. Oh, finish with these words. If we do not believe that God's love is almighty, how can we believe that the Father could create us, the Son redeem us, and the Holy Spirit sanctify us? How can we believe in the Eucharist? How I can believe that a priest is saying this is my body and is transforming his body if I don't believe that God is almighty? How I can believe that God can heal me if I don't believe that He's almighty? So the almighty power of God is the foundation of the whole faith. His mercy and His almighty power. And it's very important that when we go in prayer, we get before the whom we are. He is almighty. For Him, nothing is impossible. And that gives you a kind of calm and serenity, because whatever is happening in this moment is in His almighty power. So I try to open to His almighty power and letting Him to be God. I mean, it's very important that we get before who we are, because if not, we are working with ideas, so idols. And God is not an idea. God is God. And the problem of God is that He is God. So the things, when I don't recognize His mystery, something is happening wrong in my heart and in my life. And the Almighty is inside you, is within you. I mean, He's wanting to work in you, but depend on you. Have this very clear, depend on you, not on Him. You know the text of Ephesians that we read the other day, but I want to finish all Ephesians 3:20. I am not going to read the whole thing from verse 14 that you know. Now to Him who is able to accomplish far more than all we ask or imagine by the power at work within us. I mean, this is the verse 20. He's able to accomplish. Do you believe that? Because if you don't believe that, you don't believe in God. I mean, God is not a thinking. God is God. And the mystery of His almighty power is revealed there. And He is... Nothing is more apt to confirm our faith and hope than holding it fixed in our minds that nothing is impossible with God. Nothing, is the Catechism of the Church, I mean, nothing is more apt to confirm our faith and hope than holding it fixed in our minds that nothing is impossible with God. Once our reason has grasped the idea of God's almighty power, it will be easily and without any hesitation admit everything that the creed will afterwards propose for us to believe, even if they be great and marvelous things far above the ordinary laws of nature. as the Eucharist, I will say. I mean, if we don't believe in him, how am I going to believe in the Eucharist? So we go to the text, because I think it's very powerful for making us clarify. Any question about this? But what I is totally connected with God as creator. He's creator because he's bringing out of nothingness the whole thing. The whole universe is sustained in the word of God. I mean, it's sustaining Jesus. The one who is inside you is the one who sustained the universe. You have Colossians 1:15. Powerful text about who is Jesus. I mean, because sometimes we make Jesus like a little friend. Okay, he's a good friend, but he's not a little friend. Yes, it's true. I mean, sometimes we put it so I don't know. It's we don't understand that he's God with the Father. But St. Paul has it very clear. Colossians 1:15. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. So all creation has been created in his image. That's what he's saying, because he's more clear in Romans 8:29. For in him were created all things, in heaven and on earth. The visible, he's talking about Christ. The visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So the translation is not very good. It's all things subsist in him. In whom? In Jesus. The same that he said in Hebrews 1:2. He is the head of the body of the church. Now he's talking about the one who is the creator now, that has the primacy in all creation, because he's the Son of God and the Word of God. Now he's the head of the body of the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he himself might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things for him, making peace by the blood in the cross through him, whether those on earth and those on heaven. Now, of course, I mean, what is there? It's, Jesus is the creator with the Father. So coming to Jesus, coming to the creator. This is the way he loves me, crucified. I mean, and I am looking for love in other places. But I don't know, maybe we find it. But I don't think. So we go to this Almighty, so we can understand a little deeper and get it and live it more in our life. Because, you know, the second supernatural virtue, faith, is for understanding who is God. It's more about the truth of God, the first truth, the truth of God. That's the way St. Thomas Aquinas talk about, is the first truth and the fountain of all truth. That is faith. It's more knowing who is God and knowing where is he. But now I need to move my affective level, my will, and my desires, and that is hope. Or trust or confidence, however you want to do it. And if you are praying and this is not going in movement, you are not praying. Your faith is not real. You are not coming in a relationship with someone that is infinite beauty, is power, love you with an infinite... I mean, you are not... Faith is not... is for opening us to hope. So now God can work in my heart, because God works through hope. It's clear what I am saying? I mean... you will not see the word hope very little in the scripture. Why? Because a true faith is always in hope. It's impossible that a person who believes it has no hope. Why? Because a person's hope is founded in what? In the two things that God wants to put more clear in our lives. First, his mercy. And second, his power. That is the two attributes in which is founded confidence, trust, and hope. So if you don't have hope, it's because you don't believe that God is mercy, or you don't believe, or I don't believe that God is power. Because he's almighty power. No, it's not power, it's almighty power. And when you hope in God, God pours in your heart in the measure that you hope in him, in the measure that you trust in him. And that is the reason prayer doesn't work. And sometimes at the beginning, prayer works very well because we have a lot of hope. Because after, because we see our weakness and our poverty and our miseries, and we stop hoping in Him. And God works through hope. It's clear what I am saying. It's not only faith brings always to real faith, always brings to hope. It's impossible that a person believe in God has given his son to die on a cross, how he's not going to give me everything with him. You know, it's Romans 8:32. How? Because you don't hope. It's the only reason. Because nobody can separate you from the love of Christ. Nobody is nobody. But if you have your hope firm in these two attributes of God, why? The weaker I am, the more powerful I am before God. Because more I lean on him and not in me. Because this is about his mercy. No, it's not about how good you are. It's about how merciful he is. It's not about how powerful you are. It's about how powerful he is. And that is the reason God, what he tries is to bring us out of ourselves so we lean totally on him and he can work in us. But the two attributes in which is founded our hope is in the almighty power of God and the infinite mercy of God. And what is that? It's the Paschal mystery. Yeah. Is the death of his son in a cross for showing you what is his love for me, being a sinner and being as I am, and in my weakness, not because I am good. No, this is the mercy of God, is Jesus. In the cross is the mercy. In the resurrection is the power of God. So the two things that God has put and are at the foundation of all our faith are for restoring our hearts, the love of God for us in our weakness, and the power of God for us in our weakness. Why? Because we need in our weakness God. It's not about me, it's about He acting and transforming the things. In the measure, of course, I open to Him, because the power of God, I insist, and these things are affecting not only the spiritual, the psychological, because the psychological is created for the spiritual. So when the spiritual is not working, the psychological is all self-centered and egocentric behavior. And you can't avoid that, as I can't. I know it very well. Why? Because we are created for living from other, in other, and for other. It's the way He made our being. It's the way, the meaning of all our body, our eyes, our senses, all the things, our parents, marriage, everything that God created is for living from His love, in His love, and for His love. And the moment I am not there, all is the ego trying to find love where I don't find love. And now a lot of problems, of course, people have. In the relationship, and everything is very difficult. In the plan of God, not everything is very difficult, because He's letting Him, and stop trying to resolve what I cannot resolve. I mean, if I live in His power and in His mercy, that means a lot of peace and joy and fullness and calm, and now God can work in me. But I see it's a problem of understanding these two things are Jesus. Jesus is the power of God. Jesus is the mercy of God. And especially this action of God and this hope is in the cross. We're going to see the text, at least, of the Catechism. Why? Because God manifested His power and His mercy in the cross of His Son. So, the first thing that of all the divine attributes, only God's omnipotence is named in the Creed. Why? Of all the attributes of God, His wisdom, His love. No. Of all the attributes of God, the only one who is professed in the Creed is His almighty power. The other are supposed, but this is explicitly. And if you listen to the prayers of the church, constantly, constantly, the prayers of the church are talking about the almighty power of the Father. Constantly. Father Almighty is the attribute that is coming constantly, His fatherhood and His almighty power. To confess this power has great bearing in our lives. So, to recognize God as creator is to recognize simultaneously His omnipotence. That God is creator implies that He is almighty. Whatever He wants, He does it. And nothing is impossible for God, and nothing is impossible for Him who disposes His works according to His will. Nothing is impossible for God, and nothing is impossible with God. And that is the catechism, I like it, because now express that omnipotence of God. and he is. We believe that his might is universal. We believe that his mighty power, so for God who created everything also rules everything and can do everything. That is universal. Rules everything and can do everything. And sis, what I invite you is to make a test of your faith here. How do you believe these things? You don't believe then? Okay, no problem. You can believe what you want. But and you can understand God is what he is. I don't believe in him. I am denying him. So now try to grow in your faith. It's clear what I am saying. Some problem about this. I mean, it's not, of course, it's a process of growing in the faith, but it's a process that depends on me because faith is an answer to the revelation of God. And as is here, the first statement is this. I mean, the Holy Scripture repeatedly confessed the universal power of God. He's called the Mighty One of Jacob, the Lord of Hosts, the Strong and Mighty One. If God is Almighty in heaven and on earth, it's because he made them. And I'll quote some text. Nothing is impossible with God, who disposes his works according to his will. Quotes a lot of texts. He is the Lord of the universe, whose order he established and which remains wholly subject to him and at his disposal. And now goes a little deeper in more concrete ways. He is master of history, governing hearts and events in keeping with his will. It is always in your power to show great strength, and who can withstand the strength of your arm? Quoting Wisdom 11:21. And now quote Job. I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Faithful to the witness of the Scripture, the Church often addresses its prayer to the Almighty and Eternal God, Omnipotens Sempiterne Deus, believing firmly that nothing will be impossible with God. I mean, this is the key of salvation. I'm talking clear about for God, nothing is impossible. Because believing in God is believing that He's Almighty. And Jesus didn't do the miracles. Why? Because they don't believe in his power. Because that's always about his power. But his power is here, it's in you, it's inside you. With that power, with the one who is in you and can do more than you imagine or desire. But now how am I believing? In his Almighty. Because believing that he's creator and believing he's Almighty is totally connected. I will give you a text of St. John Paul II that probably we will not see it. But I mean, it's there. God is power. And he's Almighty, and his omnipresence, and his everything is in his knowledge and in his power. But I mean, we need to open to that. First, he's universal, which means that he rules everything and can do everything. But especially history, hearts, everything is in the power of God. The heart of my children, the heart of my wife, my heart first. I mean, do I believe that? When some moment of the salvation come to the point, always is the same thing. For God, nothing is impossible. In the incarnation. That is what the angel told Mary. For God, nothing is impossible. I insist in the point. Because we see evil. And now we go to the, because the catechism is very well written, the thing. So, second thing, this power of God, so might of God, the power of God, is universal. So, affects everything in the universe and rules everything. And it's under his disposal, everything. Second, this power of God is loving. So the power of God is not about the powers of society, of the politicians, of those who are in power. No, the power of God is for bringing love. That is the meaning of the power of God. God is Father Almighty, whose fatherhood and power shed light on one another. So his Father and his Almighty. God reveals his fatherly omnipotence by the way he takes care of our needs, by the filial adoption that he gives us. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians 6:18 and Matthew 6:32. I mean, God is Almighty for guiding everything for you. So his almighty power is not for him, it's for you. I mean, for guiding everything, for your holiness, for the union with him. I mean, it's amazing. The person, we are close to that because, I mean, test yourself, how do you believe that? Because I don't believe one moment and the other, no. I mean, and God works through faith. I mean, God doesn't work through thinking. God works through faith. Why? Because some moments, the denial that God is almighty is there. So we will see it. Finally, by his infinite mercy, for he displays his power at its height by freely forgiving sins. So his almighty power is manifested essentially in this mercy. There's an amazing text of John Paul II in the encyclical about mercy, God rich in mercy, when he talked about what means mercy. Mercy is not about that God is compassionate with us and he has a feeling of sympathy with us and, oh, well, how poor are my little children. No, the mercy of God is the almighty power of God working in any kind of evil in this world for bringing good from evil. That is the almighty power of God. But I mean, if I don't believe, he's not going to do it, because Jesus always put the same. I mean, men of little faith. I mean, you don't believe how God can work. I mean, because the problem of God is that I insist, when I am not believing, I am close in my thinking and my egocentric ways, and God cannot work in me. God shows forth his almighty power by converting us from our sins and restoring us to his friendship by grace. God, you show your almighty power above all in your mercy and forgiveness. That is a prayer of the church in the 26th Sunday, that was not so far. God's almighty power is not arbitrary. In God's power, essence, will, intellect, wisdom, and justice are all identical. Nothing, therefore, can be in God's power which could not be in his just will or his wise intellect. That is very, very Catholic, because the others, I mean, the will of God can be, no, the will of God can say, for example, that you kill your son and you have to do the will of God. No way for Catholics. It's clear what I'm saying? No way. So that God is not power and wisdom. No, power and wisdom are the same. So when he acts in power, God is love. I mean, this is one of the biggest problems in theology, in my opinion, that makes a separation after Thomas Aquinas, because the voluntaristic dimension of the church came there through the Franciscan, sorry for anyone Franciscan here, and through the against the Jesuits later. I mean, this is a tough thing. I'm not saying it. I am not against anyone. I love Saint Francis with all my heart. He was one of my favorite saints. And you know how I love Saint Ignatius of Loyola. But the other thing is the thinking and the philosophy that. And they put the will of God above the wisdom of God. And that is horrible, because a God that can be arbitrary. If he told you now that you have to do something against good, you have to do it because his will is before wisdom. I mean, and that has, Saint Thomas Aquinas is totally against that. He's quoting here Saint Thomas Aquinas, I mean, and you know the idea of that God is a horrible idea. A God that is commanding the things because he wants. These guys were trying to justify the scriptures. Why God commanded Abraham to kill Isaac? I mean, I don't go there. If one, I give you my explanation of that. But this is my explanation, but it had this very clear. I mean, this is a point that what God was wanting in that action is to stop parents killing their children, because the people around Israel all killed their children in sacrifices. And when the people of Israel left God, they turned to make the sacrifices of their children and their daughters. And it's written in the Psalms and in the scripture. Why? Because, I mean, God wants to stop that, and he did that in the first person that he called. He said, stop these kind of sacrifices. I don't want you kill children. And from that moment, the people of Israel stopped killing their children until they go back to the Canaanite religions and the other religions, and they go back to do the same things as the and all a lot of religions. I mean, this is a big, huge problem. So what God wants, but this is another thing that is a scripture thing that has to be understood in the interpretation. But here's a problem of philosophy. God can command evil, and evil will become good. That is something St. Thomas Aquinas denies totally, and the other guys not so clear. And that is make a whole thinking that has come to the actual set of mind that we have in society. That is very clear. Because Luther is there, and the greatest philosopher of the Jesuits, that is a Spanish guy, Suarez, is also in some way there. It's a voluntarist, it's called. That they put the will of God before the understanding. And what is saying the Catechism of the Church is that no, in God is nothing arbitrary. His almighty power is no way arbitrary. So God is not going to command things. All is moved by love and by wisdom, and they are not in opposition, love and wisdom, I mean, and truth. So he's loving, his Father, is manifest essentially in his fatherhood. That is the almighty power of God. When we become children, as Matthew 6, all the chapters, essentially 24 and 32, talk about the divine providence. My little flock, do not fear anymore. The Father has pleased in giving you the kingdom. I mean, this is Luke 12:32. And my little flock, can be more tender in the heart of Jesus. My little flock, don't fear anymore. The Father has pleased in giving you the kingdom. I mean, it's all this almighty power working for those who are little, for those who are in his flock, that led him to be the good shepherd of their hearts and of their lives. I mean, it's amazing. And the third, and not less, at what time we finish? Now, no? Okay, we finish. We continue the next day.
I have a question.
Yes, because we have to be...
Now, when you mentioned the power of God, the bringing good from evil, he is able, he is almighty, he can do it. And there's so much question about how can then God permit it when he has the power to stop it, and he didn't. So, by permitting it, he allowed it. By allowing it, he willed it, some are saying.
No, I mean, he doesn't will it, because if he will it, we can talk that about the next day.
Okay.
Because it's the third part. The mystery of God's apparent powerlessness. So the mystery of God, the power of God is mysterious. Why? And the answer to that is because it's revealed in the cross of his Son. In the worst thing that had happened in human history, that we killed God, he manifested his infinite love and mercy for us. And he brought from that action that was horrible, that was so much injustice, so much lies, so much, he brought through that action the salvation of the whole world. And the mystery of the cross is the mystery of salvation. So it's the mystery of the power of God working through evil. We will talk about that, the next day. Because God works through evil if we believe. Have this very clear. Because evil, so the crosses, for those who doesn't believe, are foolishness and are a scandal. And no way. For those who believe, are power, wisdom, and salvation. I mean, God continue being in total power, even in the evil that is in human history. If we open to him, this is the problem. Because Satan, This is the meditation, you pass it. And this is St. John of the Cross and Santa Teresa of Avila talking about this mystery of God that we'll talk. God is in everywhere by power, by essence, and by presence. It's amazing, the text of these holy people. This is, you have it on the back, his presence. And this is Jean Paul II, okay. Text about, a beautiful text about the almighty power of God. Yes, no, I think there are more than enough. Yes. No, but you can take it here. This is Jean Paul II, a beautiful homily that he has, or a catechesis, more than homily. And I brought this not because the litanies of humility, that is good that you have them, everyone has them already. Because here you have the prayer of abandonment in the will of God of Saint Claude, Saint Charles Foucault. An amazing prayer. So you pass it back.
I have it already.
You can take more, I have more if you want. Yes, of course. But this other.
That's the same.
That's the same, that's the other, yes. The next time we will talk about the third dimension that is there. You can make your questions, because it's good that we have a kind of dialogue about the mystery of the cross, because that is the mystery of the power of God, is the mystery of the cross. Essentially, I believe not in the power of God, I believe in the power of God in suffering, in death, and in sin. That is what I believe. That is the reason we need faith for that, because believing in the power of God, but when evil is there, believing in the power of God is more difficult. No. And open to that power, because believing you can understand, okay, everything is in His control. That is not the point. The point is how I am opening to the power of God now and here, to what is happening. We can pray to Mary. She is the one who, in the Magnificat, twice she proclaimed the almighty power of God. Twice. It's the only attribute of God that is in the Magnificat. Also, knowing and the mercy of God. Both. Mercy of God and the